Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 14. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated.
Good morning. Well, I think, can you hear me good? Okay, here we go. Wonderful. It is so good to be with you all here today in Grace Upland. My name is Isaiah Young, as Pastor Wes introduced you before, and it is such a thrill and a joy to be here. I'd love to open us up in a word of brief prayer before I preach today. Would you join me? Presence of the living God, we have gathered here today to hear a fresh word from you. Help us to be attentive in our hearts and our minds and our bodies to receive a living word from you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O God, and will you anoint this time by your Spirit so that we can come to a greater appreciation and understanding of the fullness of your love in Christ Jesus. In Christ's name, amen. Well, this is such a treat again for me to be here. I'm thankful for the ELCA denomination who awarded a wonderful grant to allow for me to be here today, for the leadership of Pastor Wes, for a beautiful board member, Jeff, who I got the chance to also meet with over a meal together. And this was about 6 months ago, and I have to say, we've been residents in the city of Ontario. We moved in 2023. And Pastor Wes was one of the first people to actually invite me to a meal, to welcome me to the area and to the community. And so I just want to thank you publicly for that gift and let you all know that you have such, as you I'm sure are aware, a wonderful spiritual leader in this community and a beautiful, his wife Sherry as well. We've been to their house. We've had wonderful conversations and our sons were on a basketball team together this last year. And so I'm very grateful for Pastor Wes and this community. Today, I'm happy because I get to share a sermon that is based largely on a book that my wife and I co-wrote that is actually releasing in 2 days, 2 days from today, and the book is called Sacred Parenthood, Spiritual Practices for the Highs and Lows of Parenting. Now, this book was actually written over the course of the last year and a half, and it really started amidst the COVID lockdowns. It was 2020. We had two children in our home and a third child on the way, who was due in April 2020. So if you remember anything about that time of March and April when babies were expected to be born, there was a lot of concern if people could go in the hospital rooms even, what would happen, how this would all go on. And so as you can imagine, like for many people, it was a very stressful time in our household. Well, thankfully, the birth was wonderful. We had Rio Joseph Young, who was born April 27th, 2020. But then the next year, as you can imagine, it was basically us with three kids at home, locked down in a very small two-bedroom apartment. And we were in need of God's help, if you can imagine. And so part of this book was our way of thinking about the kinds of spirituality, the kinds of practices that would strengthen us as a family in such a time of stress and crisis. And so I hope today we'll get a chance, if you get to attend in the adult hour, education hour, we'll talk more a little bit about the book. But that's a little bit of the backstory. So as Pastor West said, I'm a minister in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. I've been a practical theologian the last 5 years, teaching at the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley, and then the last 3 years at my alma mater, Claremont School of Theology, which Pastor West and I share. And so I've been able to teach there, and I'm very grateful for that community. I'm a writer, as you know, with the book. But most importantly, I have been with my beloved for the last 14 years. We've been married, and we have now 4 children. So we've added even another one after Rio. His name is Cairo, Ricardo. And so they send their greetings and love. They are streaming in, hi kids, from central Minnesota, where it's 2 hours ahead, so it's not as early there. But we are grateful for them in our lives and what they have to teach us. So today, my message is really inspired from some of these experiences, and it's called Parenthood as a Call to Belovedness. Parenthood as a Call to Belovedness. So the question I've been asking myself as I was preparing today is just a small question. What is the purpose of my life? Small question, right? Just a light question to ask oneself. Along with that question, it's this question that we all might ask in some way. What is this life that we've been granted somehow? What is it really all about? Well, it's an important question to ask, and of course you know that there's lots of different answers that people give you to that question. But I'm here today to ask us all again about that question. What is, and then to make it personal, what is your life really all about? What is at the bottom? What's driving your life? And as a follow-up, how shall we live in response to that question? How shall we live? The way we choose to spend our time, our resources, and where we choose to give our attention give us a clue for how we might answer that. And I suspect in some way or another, you chose to come here today because you've asked that question too. What is this life truly all about? If we didn't care about that question, there'd be no reason to gather here today on this morning in this space to sing songs of praise, to pray together, to study, to seek God, because there are so many things going on in the world. There's many other places to be. There's many other things that are good that we could be doing, but you chose to come here today. You might be streaming online. You chose to stream in today, and we're in this together. Well, the Holy Scriptures give us a clue about this question, even at the very beginning in the Genesis story. And there's a hint because the first command in the Hebrew Bible was this, to be fruitful and multiply. To be fruitful and multiply. It's an interesting command, but it definitely tells us that you and I, part of the answer to that question is that we're here to bear fruit. That nourishment, that resourcing for our world will come, will flow in and through our lives. Nourishment that extends into the whole world. Now, I love fruit. Anybody else love fruit here today? Can I get a show of hands? Yeah, a little bit. Okay, some fruit lovers. Well, I love fruit. I love strawberries, blueberries, kiwi, melon, watermelon, and I don't want to get you more hungry. But my favorite fruits are the tropical fruits. It might have something to do with being Chinese Malaysian, but I love lychee, rambutan. If you've never had these before, I encourage you, I implore you to please try them. Mango, and then my one of my all-time favorite is pineapple. Any pineapple lovers? Okay, come on, you are my people. I love some good pineapple, and I even love pineapple on my pizza. I know it's contentious, but I see some hand raises, thank you. Most of us, we really enjoy some kind of fruit, right? And if you don't enjoy fruit, it's okay. We'll pray for you after the service. But most of us love fruit because of the way it refreshes us, right? And it's usually sweet to the taste. There is nothing like a sweet fruit that comes refreshing on a hot day in sunny Southern California when our mouth is dry and our stomachs are hungry. Fruit replenishes us. And God says to us, you know what this life is all about? That we might become bearers of fruit. That we might offer ourselves to a hungry and thirsty world. For any here who might have fruit trees, you know, though, that fruit doesn't happen overnight and that it's not instant like oatmeal. It has to go through a process. You can't throw it in a microwave and hit the 1 minute button and then the fruit appears. It doesn't work that way. Fruit can only come after going through a process. For fruit to be born, it must start as a seed falling to the ground, dying and giving itself away so that it can become something new, something more, something of benefit to to the world. So this ancient command in Genesis speaks to this question which each of us must ask ourselves: what is this life all about? As you can begin to imagine, this command and instruction can also inform those of us who are parents, those of us who are caregivers, those of us who are looking after our children, that this command, of course, is not only for biological parents, because there are many among us who will never be such, but it's a way of being in the world which chooses to promote the highest good in those around us, even when it is not easy to do so. This is true spiritual leadership, coming from the awareness that when the littlest among us are cared for and regarded and treated with dignity, it is the clearest picture of God's heart for a community and world which pleases God. We, of course, live in a time when there are actual attacks on children's well-being. Childhood poverty and low-income statistics, according to the New Poor People's Campaign, tell us that 53% of our children in the United States are living in poverty or low income. And this is true also here in San Bernardino County, where there are also challenges to health care, to food security, to housing security, some of which I know you are engaged with and advocating for. So the time is ripe for us to have a spiritual awakening of this command to bear fruit and to care for the littlest among us in our immediate households and also in our neighbors, in our larger community. For we cannot bear fruit in our lives if we only care for those in our immediate circle, but it's about being in solidarity with the world. See, parenthood at its core is a sacred call to join God in loving the world, where joy, hope, and peace reign. And if we want to make a contribution to a world of peace, and our world is longing for peace, then it's a calling to tend to the young among us, to encourage them, to believe in them, to trust them, and to support them in ways that might even seem strange to us. God is speaking afresh through our children. So the question we must ask now is, well, then how can we go about this? Because if we're not careful, any command can easily become another thing on our to-do list. It can become a legalistic agenda. It can become a savior project, an ego-filled project where we're trying to do right on our own terms and according to our own strength. But the gospel calls us to something different. The gospel calls us to bear fruit and multiply love in this world in and through the empowerment and reliance of the Holy Spirit, our helper, our teacher, our comforter, our advocate, and the one who goes before us to remind us of all that Christ has done and is doing in the world. The great scholar, pastor, and spiritual advisor to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Howard Thurman, who's one of my great spiritual influences, and I encourage you to check out his teachings, reminded those who were active and engaged in the civil rights that Jesus' favorite time of the day must have been at the end of the day when all was quiet, when he was no longer about doing ministry, speaking to people, healing the sick, doing miracles, but when darkness fell over the earth, and in Howard Thurman's words, Jesus' soul was laid bare. The end of the day was the time when Jesus was not looked to as this master teacher or prophet, but was the moment where Jesus could simply be, simply rest in the presence of the divine love. What he referred to as Abba, or loving parent, loving father. It was in these moments where Jesus could receive and rest in the love that is eternal. And this was the fuel, the renewal that Jesus would go to face the next day, to show up for another day, to minister to the world. So my question for us today, as we think about this call to bear fruit and to tend and love this world around us that's longing for mercy and peace, is do we have time of stopping, of being still and resting in God's love? It is in these moments when our soul is laid bare, when there's no to-do list, there's no project, there's no assignment, where we can simply be with God for no other reason than to be with God, that we find strength for our inner person, and we learn that this bearing fruit stuff is just as much God's work as it is ours. We do it first through resting and trusting ever more deeply in God's leading, God's love, and guidance, which rests within us, around us, and extends to all of life. For many of us as parents and caregivers, it is hard to rest. Life is full of responsibilities. It's busy. the siblings are arguing with one another. They are looking for attention. They're in need of lots of things. So it is difficult to take time to do this, to practice resting in love. So I don't think it's for a lack of intention, but it's something that we must look at and pay attention to in our lives and support each other as a community to do so. Others of us in our society face different pressures and forces of discrimination that make it even more difficult to take time to rest and to be. So we must be even more committed then to build a world in this community and beyond where we can transform those realities that do not allow us to rest and to be, and to take time and discipline to be with God and resting in God, letting God's care be our guide. For it is when we receive this care that we can then truly become an extension of God to our young ones. And I believe this is why Jesus' first sermon that he preached in Nazareth was holistic, calling us to love, calling us to freedom and liberation from all oppression, because Jesus knew that life in God's reign was not just about material change, but was about spiritual wholeness. It was holistic. In order to truly love our children, we must first taste and return again to this sense of life and love which is offered freely. So I'm not sure what you're facing today. Perhaps you have not in a recent time felt this kind of love that is so deep and so wide that covers our full experience. But I want to tell you today that you, in fact, both of us, you and I and all of us together, are here to learn more about this love. That through all the circumstances that have gone down in our lives that could have went another way for many of us, maybe we might not even have been here today. But for some reason, we are. We've woke up today, there's breath in our lungs, and we're here because God is calling us to this divine love, to rest, to know, and to share in it with all of life. It is not enough to just know or taste this belovedness one time, but we're called to go back again and again. And that's why Jesus said in the passage we read, verse 18, even when he was ready to leave them and ascend into heaven, that I am not leaving you as orphans, but I'm giving you the promise of the Spirit, the resource, the indwelling presence of God that allows us to return to the sense of love again and again. It is the Spirit's work in us that will allow for healing, transformation, and a deepening to occur so that the children and the littlest among us also can learn to connect to that in their own way. And that is why I see parenthood as a call to live in and return to belovedness for those entrusted to our care and ultimately to the whole world. A call to this place, this experience of belovedness, where we are truly known, where we are seen in all that we bring, the good, the bad, the ugly, but we can be known by God. And through this knowing, extend that kind of care to the world, beginning with those who society forgets and rejects, and especially thinking of the little ones, our children. And I think in this sense, our children have a lot to teach us about the love that God's calling us to also remind us of how love you and I deeply are, just as we are. So maybe there is no final answer as to why we are here, but maybe God is more concerned with us with a willingness and openness to ask the question, to be sincere about the question, so that God, in God's time and in God's way, can continue to teach us more about that question every day that we live. I do believe that belovedness is the experience where oppression ceases, where fear loses its grip on us, and we are free to be fully alive. As you consider why you are here today, may this question itself be a reminder that there is one who is calling you today to deepen love, to be known, and may Jesus' promise of the Spirit who is always with us be who guides you and empowers you to slow down, to rest, and to feel the love that you truly are. To breathe it in, to abide, and to return often. And so it is.